ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडेज वर्स इज वर्स नंबर 15, चैप्टर 9, कैंटो 9। सन्निवेश यस्मिन् शद्दधा मुनियो मला त्रैगुण्य दुस्यजं हित्वा सद्यो यातस्तद् आत्मदम्। बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ग्रेट सेजेस कंप्लीटली फ्रीड फ्रॉम मिस मेटेरियल लस्टी डिजायर्स डिवोट देयर माइंड्स फुल्ली टू द सर्विस ऑफ द लॉर्ड। सच पर्सन्स आर लिबरेटेड फ्रॉम मेटेरियल बॉन्डेज विदाउट डिफिकल्टी and they become transcendentally situated, acquiring the spiritual quality of the Lord. This is the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no purport, so we are reading translation of verse number 16 and 17 and the purport. Bhagirath had a son named Shruta, whose son was Nabha. This son was different from the Nabha previously described. Nabha had a son named Sindhu Dvipa. From Sindhu Dvipa came Ayutya, and from Ayutya came Ritu Prana, who became a friend of Nalraj. Ritu Prana taught Nalraj the art of gambling, and Nalraj gave Ritu Prana lessons in controlling and maintaining horses. The son of Ritu Prana was Swakama. Gambling is also an art. Kshatriyas are allowed to exhibit talents in this art of gambling. By grace of Krishna, the Pandavas lost everything by gambling and were deprived of their kingdom, wife, family, home, because they were not expert in the gambling art. In other words, a devotee may not be expert in materialistic activities. It is therefore advised in the Shastra that materialistic activities are not at all suitable for the living entities, especially the devotees. A devotee should therefore be satisfied to eat whatever is sent as prasad by the Supreme Lord. A devotee remains pure because he does not take the sinful activities such as gambling, intoxication, meeting it, and illicit sex. Great sages, completely freed from material lusty desires, devote their minds fully to the service of the Lord. Such persons are liberated from material bondage without difficulty and thereby become transcendentally situated, acquiring the spiritual qualities of the Lord. This is the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First of all, I seek the blessings of all the devotees for today's itself. So, we will go briefly into the history which is relevant to this verse. 60,000 sons of King Sagar were burned to death by the internal fire generated because they offended and disrespected Kapil Muni. Anshuman was the grandson of King Sagar, and he prayed to Kapil Muni. And pleased by his prayers, Kapil Muni advised him that there is only one way to liberate his forefathers, and that is when the sacred water of the Mother Ganges will touch them, they will be liberated, and there is no other way. So he performed austerities, and after him, his son Dilip performed the austerities. But they could not succeed. Bhagirath was the son of Dilip, and he was incredibly determined, and he vowed that I will bring Mother Ganges to the earth to salvage my ancestors. And he performed severe austerities, and he pleased Mother Ganges, and she agreed to come to the earth, but she laid two conditions. First, that there should be a suitable male who can sustain the force of his waves, because when she will fall on the earth, if there is nobody to sustain the waves, she will go to the rasatal. And the second condition was that sinful persons will take bath in my waters, and they will be freed from all sinful reactions. But all those sinful reactions will be accumulated in me. Then what will happen to me? Who will purify me? This was her fear. So Bhagirath assured that Lord Shiva, who is an incarnation of Govinda, is a person who can sustain you on his head, your forceful waves which will come down, and she was satisfied. And for the other conditions, he told him that pure devotees of the Lord, when they will take bath in our waters, they will eradicate all the accumulated sins in you. So, who are those devotees, pure devotees of the Lord? So there are three categories of devotees. One is Nitya Siddha, second is Kripa Siddha, and third is Sadhana Siddha. So Nitya Siddha are those devotees who are eternally liberated. They never fall down. They are engaged in the transcendent and loving service of the Lord in the spiritual world. And when Lord comes down to this earth for performing pastimes, all these Nitya Siddhas come with him to assist him in his leelas. Actually, it is said that Krishna never enjoys transcendental bliss without the association of his devotees, pure devotees. So all these pure devotees come with Krishna to assist him and give him transcendental pleasure. They act like an ordinary man, just like Krishna acts like an ordinary man. And when Krishna winds up his leela, pastimes in this material world, and goes back to his abode, all these Nitya Siddhas also go back to the spiritual world. So there is very short time for which they are on this earth, practically negligible. Then comes Kripa Siddha. These are the persons who are conditioned souls without any qualification. But by the supreme mercy of the Lord, they are awarded spiritual ecstasy and love of Krishna. We see in the pastimes of Krishna that the wives of the Brahmins who are performing yajna, they were simple village ladies. They had no qualification. But they were favored by Krishna and they were awarded spiritual ecstasy without performing all the rules and regulations and the details of this devotional service. So only Krishna can award this Kripa Siddhi. We also see in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he awarded love of God to little Narayani, who had no qualification. He also awarded love of God to the most sinful persons, Jagai and Maghai. What qualification they had? They were the most sinful person. And seeing that such a mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving them love of God, even Yamraj fainted, that this is the mercy of the Lord. So we find that these persons who are Kripa Siddhas are very rare, and at the same time, they are only in this world for a short time. So here in this particular verse, Sud Goswami is actually pointing out who will be the persons, who will be the sages, who will be the pure devotees, who will purify the Ganges. And these are the Sadhana Siddhas, as we find from this verse. Sadhana Siddhas are those persons who are conditioned souls, but who take up to the devotional service seriously and reach perfection, attain perfection and the love of God. So we find that very beautifully, meticulously and expertly, Sukadeva Goswami has made the complete, actually compressed the complete package of sadhana bhakti in this shloka. The principles and the process to perform, what is the result of that performance of the devotional service, how they are situated in transcendent and how they acquire the qualities of the Lord, and how the Lord becomes glorious because of such austerities, love, surrender, service, and sacrifice of the devotees. So this particular shloka contains the total package of sadhana bhakti from starting to the ultimate attainment of this. So we can, for the purpose of discussion, we can divide it into four parts. The first part consists of two aspects. Great devotees completely freed from lusty desires and devote their mind fully to the service of the Lord. This is first part, which contains of two aspects, which contains the principles and the process of devotional service. The second part is they get liberated from the material bondage and get transcendentally situated. This is what is the effect or the result of the devotional service. The third is that after perfecting and attaining the transcendental status, how they acquire the qualities of the Lord, spiritual qualities of the Lord. And all these things, the devotees' endeavor and the mercy of the Lord makes Lord glorious. So these are the four aspects, four parts in this shloka, which I will be discussing in brief. So the first part consists of two aspects. And who are the persons who will be performing this devotional service? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:4, 7th chapter, 4th verse, Manushya Nam Sahasreshu Yash Kashchit Yasti Siddhe, that out of thousands of men, one will endeavor for perfection. And Prabhupada explained it, that when with the mercy of a devotee of the Lord, one fortunate person, some fortunate persons, get sufficiently interested in spiritual realization. So it has two parts. The mercy of Lord is there, and the choice of the conditioned soul is there, whether he wants to get interested in spiritual realization or not. So out of thousands of persons, one will make this choice. And actually Prabhupada said that in Kali Yuga, perhaps this figure may increase to lakhs of persons. So out of lakhs of persons in Kali Yuga, one will endeavor for perfection. So one will get sufficiently interested in spiritual realization. So what these two parts mean? That which Krishna explains in chapter 2, verse 61 of Bhagavad Gita. Tani sarvani sanyame yukt asit martpare. There are two aspects. That one should restrict his senses, controlling, making them under his control. And secondly, he should fix his consciousness on me. Similar to the two aspects which Sukhdev Goswami has described here. That one should get free himself from the lusty desires and fix his consciousness on me. Same thing Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 2:16, that these two processes must go simultaneously. And Prabhupada in his commentary says that this is the highest conception of yoga perfection in Krishna consciousness. This is the highest concept of Krishna, yoga perfection. Yoga perfection means that he must control his senses and simultaneously fix his mind on the Lord. If we see that a person is executing the first part, he is trying to control his senses only without fixing his mind on the Lord, it means he is negating something and there is no positive action on his behalf. And Prabhupada described that such an effort is simply artificial renunciation. Because there is no positive engagement, he is artificially trying to suppress his senses, control his senses, and one day the senses will explode. They will somehow or the other will go out of his control because the desires are so powerful that they will even take away the mind away. Just like the wind just take away the boat away. So this will be a futile exercise, as we understand from the many instances, like Vishwamitra, who was performed this controlling the mind by dhyan for 60,000 years and he fell down. Surabhi Muni, perhaps we discussed a month back or so, he was concentrating his mind on controlling his senses. He went inside the ocean so that he should not be disturbed, but seeing the two fishes together, he fell down. So alone trying to control the senses without fixing his mind on the Lord is a futile exercise. Actually, it will not lead anywhere. Ultimately, he has to fall down and everything will go waste. And at the same time, fixing mind on the Lord without controlling the senses will be a futile exercise, because there will be incessant flow of desires. And the senses and the mind will be agitated, and there is no question of actually controlling the mind at all. Because unless the senses are controlled, they are peaceful, mind will be dragged by the senses, and he will be disturbed and he cannot fix his mind. So therefore, Prabhupada describes that this is the highest concept of yoga perception, that both things should go simultaneously. What it means actually, that all the conditioned souls have so many material desires. Because of that desire for sense gratification, they are attached to sense gratification, they are attached to sense objects, and there is very little inclination for attachment to Krishna. So the process is that one has to gradually detach himself from attachment to sense gratification, to the material or to the sense objects, and gradually attach himself to Krishna by meditating on him. So when this process reaches the perfection, that the person performing is completely free from the lusty desires or material desires, and he fully absorbed in Krishna, that is the time when he gains perfection. So this is the process of perfection. When the person reaches the perfection, he attains love of God and is immediately freed from all material desires. So this is the first part. And Rupa Goswami describes in Nectar of Devotion how this progresses. It starts from Atho Shraddha. As Prabhupada said, that when by the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord, a person develops some interest in the transcendental realization. It means that he has developed some Shraddha in the words of a devotee. And then the process starts. Adho Shraddha, Tatho Sadhu Sang, Tatha Bhajan Kriya, Anath Nivritti, and Nishtha. So that Shraddha which started in a very small quantity initially becomes Nishtha, becomes infringing faith in the process. And then Ruchi, and then Asakti comes, because he is controlling the senses to a great extent, therefore he is attached to Krishna, and then bhav, and then love of Krishna. So it is explained that even from the stage of bhav, one can fall down. As in the case of Bharat Maharaj, he reached the stage of bhav. He actually left his kingdom, left his family, everything he left, and went to the forest. But somehow or the other, he got attached to a baby deer, and because of that he neglected his sadhana. So even from the stage of bhava one can fall down. So one has to actually perfect his life to the stage of love of God, and then he reaches on the transcendental platform, and Krishna promises when one reaches this platform, I assure that nobody will fall down. I will see to it. And Radhanath Maharaj also in this context made a very advice to the devotees. I think it was in the last Vyas Puja when there was a great rain and it was in Cross Maidan. He repeatedly told 3-4 times that the devotee should be sincere, he should be serious, and he should be without ulterior motive. So the process includes all these things. That sincerity means that he should be very determined that I will reach the perfection, or I will attain the love of Godhead in this very life. That is sincerity. He has a particular object and he is doing everything to fulfill that object. And seriously, he has explained that seriously means that there are so many deviations in our life. We are allured by the Maya, we are allured by so many attachments, material attachments. So seriousness means that without any deviation, he should proceed. And without ulterior motive is that he should have no material desire, that out of performing bhakti, I should gain something material. So these three things, if the person is having and performing seriously, as here, trying to control the senses and absorbing his mind in Krishna, then he will reach the perfection. So at this stage, the devotee is free from all material lusty desires and he reached the stage of transcendence. So what is this transcendence? In Bhagavad Gita, 14th chapter, Arjuna asks Krishna in verse 21, three questions. By which symptom is one known who is transcendental to three modes? Second, what is his behavior? And how does he transcend the modes of nature? These are the three questions posed about what is the nature of transcendent and who will be known as transcendented, the three modes of material nature. So the answer Krishna indicates that the transcendentally situated person, for the first, what are the symptoms? He has no envy towards anybody, does not hanker or lament. Brahm bhut prasanna atma na sochti na kanshati. When person is situated in a transcendental platform, there is no hankering and no lamentation. He engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, and when he engages himself fully in the devotional service of the Lord, fully absorbed, then he forgets his identity as a body. Matlab, he forgets the bodily concept of life. And automatically when he is absorbed fully, and when he is free from the bodily concept of life, then he transcends the three modes of material nature. Because of this false ego, that I am this body, these three modes of transcendental nature are actually binding us to this material world. So by performing, absorbing fully in Krishna's devotional service, he forgets his identity as body, and when he forgets that false, he loses that false ego, then he transcends the three modes of material nature. And regarding the second question, what is his behavior, the dealings and the behavior? Krishna explains that he is not affected by false honor or dishonor offered to the body. Because in the material world, honor and dishonor is offered to the body. Amanina, that he is not concerned whether somebody respects him because he knows that he is the spirit soul and people are respecting or disrespecting my body. That is a false honor and dishonor. So he is not affected by that. He accepts things favorable for devotional service, for the duty in Krishna consciousness, and rejects what is unfavorable. Anukule sankalpam, pratikule varjanam. He takes everyone as friend and does not hate his so-called enemies. Does not find fault with others, adosh darshi. Matlab, he is not interested to find faults with fault because he sees the spiritual spark in everybody and he sees that everybody is pure, is spiritual, and is therefore not interested in finding fault in the others. He can accept anything for Krishna. He will do anything. He will sacrifice everything for Krishna, but not for the self, not for himself at all. He is equally disposed and everyone on equal level. Pandita Shabdarshana. So these are the behavior or the dealings of the devotee. And what is the meaning of the transcendence, attaining the transcendence? Prabhupada explains, and Krishna in the commentary, that he is always engaged in loving service of Krishna, always acting for Krishna, which is called the bhakti yoga. Matlab, in transcendence, there is nothing else except Krishna in their life, except love for Krishna, except service for Krishna, except sacrifice for Krishna. So he is engaged fully in that. And he fully surrenders to Krishna, as in the final verse of the instruction of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarv dharman patyajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha shami masuche. So he ultimately surrendered to Krishna. And how he surrendered to Krishna? Krishna says, Devi hai ashimai mam maya duratya, mam vema prapandante, maya meti tarantite. That my material nature consists of three modes of material nature is very, very difficult to overcome, to cross. But one who surrenders to me can easily cross that. So surrender, ultimate surrender to Krishna means that Krishna is giving his mercy. He can easily cross the material nature. He can easily cross. He control his lusty desires. He can be free from lusty desires by the mercy of Krishna. So surrender means that he fully, there is no identity separate from Krishna. Surrender to Krishna means that he has no will separate from Krishna. He is one with Krishna in will. He has no desire separate from Krishna. This is surrender. And acting always for Krishna. So Prabhupada described that what it means that when he surrenders, Krishna takes or delivers him from the sinful activities. Prabhupada described that it means that Krishna takes those sinful reactions and neutralizes them because he is pavitra, he is completely pure, he is vishuddha. Only Krishna can do it. He takes the sins of the sinful reactions of the devotee. And we see practical demonstration of this in the Leela, in the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he gives love of God to Jagai and Magai, and he takes all their sins. And from the golden color, he becomes blackish. He looks like Krishna. So we see that when Krishna gives his love or perfection, he takes the sins of all his devotees. And because he is pavitra, he neutralizes them. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked that perform kirtan, and kirtan was performed, and slowly, slowly, all that blackish color had gone, and he again come back to the golden color. So we see that aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha shami. Krishna actually takes those sinful reactions and neutralizes it. So this is very important, and in the same purport, Prabhupada says that similarly that spiritual master also at the time of initiation takes the sinful reactions on his head and he suffers for that. He must suffer for that, Prabhupada says, not fully but partially. But since he is fully engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, preaching his glories, giving the message of Krishna to everybody. Krishna is very merciful to his devotee, to his servant, and he eradicates all other sins of the spiritual master. So this, from this we understand that how that person is transcendentally situated. So this process of bhakti, sadhana bhakti, is actually the process of purification of the material desires. And one is when one is fully freed from those material desires and fully absorbed in Krishna, then it is the stage of perfection. And it is also explained that the pure devotional service starts only when the person reaches the transcendental stage. We are performing a devotional service here, but actual devotional service, pure devotional service, can only be performed at the stage of transcendent. And when a person transcends the modes of material nature, because one cannot serve Supreme Lord unless he is situated in the same transcendental position as the Lord. So this is very important to understand that the process we are following is our purification, and the actual pure devotional service will start only when one is on the transcendental platform. So this is about what is the person when he attains transcendence, what are the symptoms, qualities, behavior, and how it happens. And the third part is, he acquires the spiritual qualities of the Lord. So Sri Rupa Goswami, in chapter 21 of the Nectar of Devotion, actually enumerated all these 50 qualities, and Prabhupada writes that after going scrutinizing through the various scriptures, Rupa Goswami has enumerated 50 qualities of the Lord. I will not go into the detail of those qualities. And at the same time, Prabhupada writes that as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, the individual living entity can also possess all these qualities in minute quantities, because we are Anu and Krishna is Vibhu. He has unlimited quantity of that quality. But we are Anu, we have in very many minute quantity. So the living entities can also possess all these qualities, 50 qualities, in minute quantity, provided they become pure devotees of the Lord. Generally, we say that living entities can acquire up to 50 qualities, they have up to 50 qualities, but actually it is not so. We are not having those qualities unless we, because they are spiritual qualities of the Lord is spiritual, every quality of the Lord is spiritual. So these are 50 qualities which are enumerated here, which are spiritual qualities. So we cannot have those qualities, even in minute, unless we attain the, come to the stage of pure devotee. And seeing the sincere devotion endeavor of the devotees, Krishna bestows his mercy on him and make him qualified to acquire these qualities. So this is how the devotee who has attained perfection acquires 50 of the qualities. As we all know, there are 64 qualities in Krishna. Lord Shiva has 55 qualities. The incarnation of Krishna has 60, and Krishna has 64 qualities. Four special qualities: Rupa Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, and Preeti Madhurya. So these 50 qualities can be manifested even in a living entity who has reached to the stage of perfection. And the most glorious part is that about the glories of the Lord, actually, which Sukhdev Swami mentions here, that we know that Krishna is known as Bhaksvatsal. He loves the devotees. And the devotees are known as Narayan Parayan. They are the surrendered soul to the devotees. They are willing to do anything, whether favorable or unfavorable. We are put in any position, they will accept it willingly, even if it is favorable or unfavorable, because they see the hand of Krishna. Krishna is perfect, and everything which is being
which we see, which is being done by Krishna, is also perfect. So a pure devotee sees everything as perfect, and therefore whether it is favorable to him or unfavorable to him, he is not disturbed. He sees Krishna's hand in it and accepts it willingly and happily. So it is said that God is great, but how great it is, that we know from the loving relationship, from the loving exchanges between the devotees and the Lord. Because the devotee, the glory of the Lord is dependent on the glory of the devotee, and the glory of the devotee is dependent on the glory of the Lord. They are actually interdependent, they cannot be separated. Unless we know the glory of the devotees, how can we understand the glories of the Lord? The devotees who have surrendered their life for their Lord. So the glory of the Lord is ultimately dependent on the glory of the devotee who has attained perfection, and the glory of the devotee is dependent on the glory of the Lord who has given him that perfection because of his endeavor. So the pure devotee, therefore, when he is fully absorbed in Krishna, carries Krishna in his heart. Pure devotee says that, I know nobody other than Krishna, and Krishna says, no, says, I know nobody than my devotees. So this is the loving reciprocation between the two. And as we all know, Krishna is fully independent. He is supreme controller. But in the ninth canto, only in the chapter of Amrish Maharaj, Krishna says that, I am not independent at all. I am fully controlled by my devotees because they have surrendered everything to me. And at various places, Krishna says that because of the love and service and sacrifice of the devotees, I become so much indebted to them that in spite of the fact that I own everything in the creation, I cannot repay them. And therefore, I become subordinate to them. So there are few quotes of Prabhupada and in the Bhagavatam and the shloka of the Bhagavatam, which I would like to read to glorify the devotees as well as Krishna. Lord glorifies the devotees. I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent. And he says that as a chaste woman brings their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in care, in the core of their hearts, bring me under their full control. So Krishna says that I am controlled by my devotees. Only last 15 days up to, there was a Kartik month. And what we are doing every day? We were discussing about the Damodar Leela, where Yashoda Mai was actually binding Krishna. And it has been explained that Krishna cannot be bound by anything except by the love of his devotees. So Krishna here affirms the same thing, that I am not at all independent. I am controlled by my devotees. So since Krishna carries, Krishna is always in the heart of the devotees. Actually, devotees carries Krishna in their heart. So wherever the devotees goes, their lotus feet fall. That becomes the place of pilgrimage. That becomes purified because Krishna is there in the heart and he is purifying. He is giving that power of purification to the devotees. Therefore, Bhagirath says to Mother Ganges that when pure devotees, such pure devotees who have Krishna in their heart, will bathe in your waters, then they will counteract all the accumulated sins which are there in your waters. So this is how we can understand the glories of the devotees. And these sadhana siddhas will always be there on this planet, and they will, And the, because the problem of the Mother Ganges was not one-time problem, that she got contaminated and she will be cleared and then there will no pollution. It is a regular feature because every day people will be taking bath, every day she will be taking the sins, reactions of the sins of the sinful persons, and every day she is getting polluted. So she has to be regularly purified. And how she can be purified? By the sadhana siddhas, who will always be there on this earth, by conditioned souls who have perfected their life, surrendered to Krishna, and reached the stage of transcendence. So, therefore, specifically, Sukadeva Goswami describes here sadhana siddhas, who will be there to purify Mother Ganges. And in the prayers of Narottam Das Thakur, prayer to Vaishnavas, he has actually glorified the devotees, which is actually very much explains what is in this we are discussing now. Jahar nikate jaye paap dur jaye. He is actually glorifying the devotees, Vaishnavas. Jahar nikate gele paap dur jaye, emo dayal prabhu kabe kotha paaye. Meaning that even just by in the presence of a devotee, all the sins run away. This is the kindness of a pure devotee. And then he says, Ganga parsh hole paschate pavan. Matlab, only after the sparsh, the touch of Ganga, one gets purified. As Ganga says, then people will take bath in me, they will be relieved of all, delivered of all sinful reactions. So when they sparsh, touch the waters, then only their paap will go away. But darshane pavitra kole tumara guna. He says that by simply having the darshan of a pure devotee, all these sins will go away. This is the quality of a devotee. Just by seeing you, the same effect is achieved, such is your quality. And then tumara hirde sadar Govind Vishram, Govind kahe Vaishnav mura pran. So he says, glorifies the devotee, that your heart is the resting place of Krishna. Krishna is residing there. And Krishna says, Govinda says, that devotee is my life and soul. So this is the reciprocation between them. And how the devotee and is actually glorified. Here also there is a quote, that since my devotees are completely devoid of material desires, I sit only within the court of their heart. What to speak of my devotees, even those devotees who are devotees of my devotees are dear to me. So it is not only the pure devotees, but the devotees who are attached to a pure devotee. A pure devotee loves those devotees, becomes also dear to Krishna. So this is the power of a pure devotee. And I will describe one pastime of Prabhupada, which was also narrated during his Vyas disappearance day. Prabhupada was sitting with his foreign disciples, Western disciples, and they were discussing, and a devotee asked, Prabhupada, it is written in the scriptures that unless one is 100% purified, there is no chance of his going back to the spiritual world. And we are so much conditioned because of our past conditioning. How can we reach the purity of 100%? So Prabhupada very mercifully said that, okay, you can perfect your life up to 90%. Still, they were morose because even 90% was too difficult. So they said, Prabhupada, it is too difficult. And then Prabhupada said, okay, 80%. Still, they were rejected. And seeing them, Prabhupada said, no less than 75%. And at the same time, he said that if you are tightly holding my lotus feet, I will take back to the spiritual world. This is the power of devotee, pure devotee. And then somebody asked, Prabhupada, how is this possible? Shastra says that unless one is 100% purified, how you can take 75% purified person? Prabhupada said, I have the key to the back door of the spiritual world. So this is how devotee, Krishna favors those devotees, because Prabhupada knew that these are the persons who have assisted me in spreading the message of the Lord. These are the persons who are so dear to him. And therefore, he made that concession. And we expect that all those persons will be taken back by Prabhupada through the spiritual world. And in the end of this shloka, there is one story which I have heard in our Khar center. Vishwamanu Prabhu narrated that story of Pundrik, who was living in Pandharpur. He was a devotee of the Lord, and his parents were also devotees of the Lord. But somehow or the other, he started misbehaving them, ill-treating them. And being disturbed, he thought that now I should go on a pilgrimage. And he went on a pilgrimage, and one day he came to one ashram. And he was standing there, what to do, and he saw three ladies who were black in color going inside that ashram. And after some time, those three ladies came back, and they were shining. All that blackish color had gone. And they were shining, fully shining in their true color, white. And then he was astonished how this happened. As we know today, ladies go to the beauty parlor for their facial and all these things and to become beautiful. So it was not such an advanced beauty parlor where those ladies became technically advanced beauty parlor where they were transformed into such beautiful ladies. He stopped them and asked, "Who are you? And what you were doing, who was inside the ashram, and how this transformation has taken place?" So she told, the ladies told, that we are Ganga, Jamuna, and Saraswati. And since all this accumulation of the sinful reactions of the sinful people, we became contaminated, so we have come here in the ashram of Kukutmani to get purified. And in this, just in his presence, we got purified and we are coming back. So this is actually a story which was told by Vishwamanu Prabhu. And he went inside to see who this Kukutmani is. And he saw that he was very sincerely, very lovingly serving his parents. And he asked him, "This is all what you are doing?" He was a realized soul, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. But at the same time, we should understand that merely becoming a pure devotee and not performing devotional service or serving the other devotees has no meaning. Devotional service means, Krishna says that I am more pleased when a devotee serves my devotees than serving myself. So he was serving his father, parents very faithfully. And he did not go proceed further. He came back. And he started serving his parents very, very lovingly. And because of that, since they were the devotees of the Lord, Krishna himself came. He was at that time absorbed in serving the parents. And Krishna knocked at the door and he said, "Stop. I'm just coming, performing my duties." And he threw a brick, wheat, and he just slept. He did not actually forgot that somebody is waiting for him. And Krishna waited for him, and the Vitthal is in this pose waiting for his devotees to come. So Krishna is always waiting for his devotees to come. So we can understand from this story, Kukutmani, that by the mere presence of the pure devotee can make Ganga, Yamuna, and Saraswati purified. So this is about this, that's about the other shloka, 15 and 16 and 17. There is not much to be said because gambling is one of the four No gambling is one of the four regulatory principles. Actually, devotees should not be interested in that, and there can be much can be said about it because it is an addiction. Jaise bhukt bhogi hote na, we are into that. We were into that addiction before coming to Krishna consciousness. You know, Mahaprabhu ji, we were and few friends. We were all addicted to playing rummy and all that. So it is an addiction definitely because we neglect many things because of this addiction. So suffice is to say that for the devotees, all these material activities are not at all relevant because it is ultimately the devotees is striving for purification, and these four regulatory principles including no gambling has to be followed very strictly. So thank you very much for bearing me, patiently hearing me. If there are any questions or comments, I will be ready to try to answer them. Shri Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. With my little knowledge and there was no purport of Prabhupada to this shloka. So I had to, somehow or the other, with the mercy of all of you, could prepare something for presentation. Thank you very much. Haripur.